begins the Jewish New Year. You know, the secular New Year, January 1st. So we have a couple of months for that. But the Jewish New Year begins this coming Monday and Tuesday. That's why there's no Goldies, I guess, Monday and Tuesday, because it's the Jewish New Year. And in Judaism, as always, the day begins at night. As it says in the Bible, and it was evening and it was morning one day, so all our days begin at night. So when we say Monday, we really mean Sunday night. Like every Saturday, we begin Friday night, the Sabbath. We always begin the night before. So it begins this Sunday night. We're right now presently in the Jewish year 5779. And you guessed it, we'll be moving to 5780. We only go one year at a time. 5780, we're beginning. So 5,780 years from the birth of Adam and Eve. And that's our tradition. Then why is it the new year? Because Adam and Eve were born on Rosh Hashanah, on the Jewish New Year. That's God created the world 6 days before. And on the sixth day of creation, Adam and Eve were created. And that was, and that's our tradition. It's Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. And therefore, it's Judgment Day. Every year, on the day that he created the world, he goes over annually to see did he make the right decision or not and see how everyone's doing. Yeah. So that's what it is. It's a universal, it's a happy day, but it's a serious day because we believe everybody is judged, you know, and God's going back to see how we're doing. And then we go from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the following Wednesday. They have Goldies or not?
No.
So, right, there's no Goldies next Wednesday, the Wednesday after, October 9th, because that's the Day of Atonement, so we have the 10 days of repentance. It begins on Rosh Hashanah, this coming Monday, and goes to the following Wednesday. So, one of the commandments we have on the day of Rosh Hashanah is, it's called Shofar. S-H-O-F-A-R, which means it's a ram's horn. It's an instrument someone blows and it makes different noises. The noises are, it's different forms of crying. That we have a tradition that we hear the shofar 100 times during that time period. And that is the biblical commandment of shofar, and to internalize the message that we all, it's not enough that we blow the shofar, but we have to hear it and internalize to see how we become better people. And that's why the custom is, the night of Rosh Hashanah, we dip the apples in the honey. So we have apples on Rosh Hashanah, and we have honey. Why specifically apples, and why honey? We know honey is to have a happy and sweet new year, but we could have sugar also. So why did we pick honey and not sugar? So apples, actually, speaking of the Garden of Eden, so apples go way back. Even though our tradition is the tree they ate was not an apple, it was different opinions what it was. It could have been grapes. It's going to be something which I'm going to come around with over the holiday of Sukkot. It's called an esrog. But even though we know what happened on Rosh Hashanah, Adam and Eve sinned and they were thrown out of the Garden of Eden. That's why we're here. Else would be a different world if not for them, for better or for worse. But we, you know, it's out of our control. So they were. So what happened also on Rosh Hashanah, when Isaac went to get a blessing from his father, when Jacob went to get a blessing from his father Isaac, he was wearing clothes from Adam. And the father said he smells the aroma of the orchard, and that was the aroma of the apples. And just like they got thrown out of Garden of Eden, on Rosh Hashanah, God says you could come back. I'm waiting for you to come back to repent, to be trying to become better people, be nicer to people, do nicer things, and then he wants us to go back into the Garden of Eden. So the apples go back all the way back to the Garden of Eden. But the apples represent, apples is a fruit that has everything. Like certain fruits look good, but they don't taste so good. Certain fruits smell good, but they don't look so good. And apple has it all. It looks good, it tastes good, and it smells good. And as they say, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. At least, I don't know if it's true or not, but that's the saying. So why do we have apples? Because apples are the perfect fruit, so to speak. So we might think, or maybe we're right, that we had a good year and we're good people, but we dip the apple in the honey to show that there's always room for improvement. No matter how sweet the apple is, you can always make it sweeter. In fact, I don't know if Steve Jobs or Tim Cook, well, I know they weren't Jewish, but the ones who make the Apple phone. So what do they do every year? It usually comes out right before, it's coincidental, but it comes out right before the Jewish New Year. And what do? They come out with a new Apple upgrade. They think they have the best phone in the world, but every year they work on the battery, they work on the camera, and that's the lesson. So the problem is they charge a lot of money for the upgrade. In our religion, it's a free upgrade. You don't have to pay anything. But just like you dip the apple in the honey until you become sweeter. Just like apple has upgrades every year, we have to work on ourselves to upgrade ourselves, you know, whatever way we can improve in. So that's the concept of apple. It goes back to the Garden of Eden, and as well it shows our improvement. Why honey? What's the symbolism of honey? Because usually all year round we put salt on our challah, on our bread. But the night of Rosh Hashanah, we get rid of the salt and we put honey on the bread and the apple. Why honey? So obviously they have a sweet new year, but we need more than that because we could have put sugar on the apple or sugar on the challah. And the answer is honey has a unique quality. Let's say salt has a quality, it's the ultimate preservative. We don't appreciate it as much because we have refrigerators and freezers. But back in the day, how did people keep stuff? You put a lot of salt on. Salt preserves things. It was the ultimate preservative. And if something was spoiled, salt's not going to help you. But people put salt in the soup. It's an enhancer, salt. But it's the ultimate, it preserves what you have. But what's honey? Honey overpowers something. If you put honey on the apple, you don't taste the apple anymore. You taste the honey. You put honey on top of something, honey has the power to overpower whatever it does. It consumes whatever you put in it. And in fact, even if something non-kosher fell into a vat of honey, you could eat the honey because we assume that non-kosher pieces disappeared inside the honey. So salt is the ultimate preservative. Honey is the ultimate transformer. It changes. All year round, we want to show God we're doing what He told us to do. We're preserving the tradition. We're listening to what we're supposed to do. We're staying the same. But on the night of the new year, we want to show God we're not staying the same. We want to show God we're becoming better this year. So what better way? We symbolize by putting the honey on the table, dipping the apple and the challah in the honey to show, just like the honey has the power to transform the food, so too God, we're going to try to be better this year. We're going to change ourselves and work on our characteristic traits. And that's why honey actually, it's interesting why we, meaning the Jewish people, can even eat honey because honey comes from bees. Bees are not a kosher animal. So just like...
I didn't know that.
Yes.
I didn't know that. Okay.
So we can have milk from a cow because a cow is kosher. We can't have pig's milk, because assuming they even have milk, because you can't have something from a non-kosher source. So how are we allowed to eat bee honey? So that's what they point out. Number one, it's a verse in the Bible that says it praises the land of Israel. The land of Israel is flowing with milk and honey. So clearly if God's praising the land of honey, He's telling us we could eat it. And the apple, but the reason is because honey has the power, even though you get bees stuck in there, but as I said, the power of honey is the power of transformation and change. And that's what the night of Rosh Hashanah is all about. We're not happy with the preservatives anymore. We don't want to stay the same. We want to show we're better. And if we got far away, we made mistakes, God wants us back. But even if we had a good year, just like the apple, which has all the good qualities, we still want to go for the free upgrade every year, and we want to show how sweet as we are, we could all become sweeter, and we should all in our family should have a happy and sweet and healthy new year. Any questions?